any of you that were here last night heard what Brother Taylor said. He said that where the Spirit of God would come down. Can I tell you this morning?
But he said,
so that he didn't have to, there wouldn't be any preaching of the word. But that's not the way it happens around here. I thank God. You will have no idea the way the Spirit of God has moved this morning. You can be seated. I'm not going to preach long. I'm just going to tell you that I don't believe I will. I just feel like that there's so much going on around us, and there's so much that we as Christians need to see in the realm of the Spirit. And I just want to read you a couple, three verses. These are not even in my text here, so I'll go to my text later. But right now, listen to what this word says here. I'll tell you where all these are found later. But right now, just listen to the word. Yet the life are the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Think about that. Think about that. What you're saying, what you're speaking. And then if I go to 2 Chronicles 14, we've all read 2 Chronicles 7:14, and we know what that says, but do we know what verse 15 says? Because verse 15 says, now mine eyes shall be open and my ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. So we've had an awesome week. Those of you that were not here, you might want the tapes. They taped them. But I thought, even as I said there the other night, that I wondered. But you know, we had two saved. Two came back to the Lord or reclaimed their life. And those two go to a Bible Baptist church, not a Pentecostal church. But the Spirit of God moved upon them, and they said they needed to recommit their lives. And they did. So those four nights were well worth it to me. And I want to tell you, the scripture that I'm looking at, and I'll give it to you here in a minute, is found in John, where it talks about sanctification. Uh-oh. Now, Pastor, what are you saying? What I'm saying is, the word that I'm going to read you said that we are sanctified by His Word. Can I tell you that a people that are following after God, and they're doing what God calls them to do, they're saying what God calls them to say, and they're believing what God calls them to do, that's what He's talking about when He says, being sanctified. I've set you apart for a use. In Jeremiah, we read in 1 and 5, He said, Jeremiah, I sanctified you when you were in your mama's womb. Can I tell you something, that you and I are sanctified? We are set apart so that God can use us. And if we're not careful, the enemy will come in and destroy relationships. He will steal from us. And the Word of God said, the thief cometh but to rob, kill, and destroy. Now, if I can come in and I can put a wedge between you and Johnny, then I'm the thief that's robbing your peace and your conciliquity. And I can do that if I watch you real close to see what I can say, to see how I can manipulate, to see all this. But wait a minute. God said, I sanctified Pat. God said, I sanctified John. I set them apart and I put my Spirit in them so that I can use them. You see, people, even the sanctuary He sanctifies and put it aside so that He can use. If you go back to the Old Covenant and read, if you were to read where the Ark of the Covenant was coming along, and this man just reached out to study it, it was falling, and he was going to steady it as it was falling. But wait a minute. He was not sanctified to touch the Ark of the Covenant. And when he touched the Ark of the Covenant, he died. People, we need to realize something. We need to realize that God has sanctified His house. That's why some people get angry with me when I see their child bouncing up and down on a pew or running up and down on a pew, and I speak to them and say, wait a minute, this is not your playground. And there's people that are angry with me. Believe me, they are. I've got the letters to prove it. But you know what? It doesn't bother me. Do you know why? I don't give a rip. Because I'm going to do what God called me to do. And this is God's house. This is not your house. This is not a playground. This is a place that's sanctified and set aside where people come to meet God. And if we come with that attitude and we come with that desire that when we come through those doors, God will meet us. Go back and read some of these things in the old covenant that God had. You see, people, we need to realize we've lost. The Christian church and the world has lost their fear of God. Amen. And the Word of God said that the fear of God is the first sign of wisdom. I'm going to tell you something. The more I read that thing and the more I study that, the more I am convinced I better watch my P's and Q's. I better talk right. I better walk right. I better think right even. I look at these, and you might not, but I look at these football players, these baseball players, $225 million. And now one of them can't play for a year because he was on enhancement drugs. So he lost $25 million. $25 million. Wait a minute, he got $225 million. But you know, I thought, what an example that man could have been, should have been. When God lifts you up, and God's the one, listen, these players don't get lifted up just by their, well, you say, well, you know, they're very well, I know what they are, they train, they study, they do, I know what all they do, but guess what? If God did not allow it, they would not be stars. They would not be stars. And if in the star position, they have an opportunity to be a witness. You know, there's. Do you know why a man by the name of Tebow is not playing ball right now? Because he lifted up the name of Jesus. Because he prayed. Because he said Jesus was his Savior. That's why Tebow's not playing ball. But guess what? I know a man that works for GM. I used to work for GM. Salary. This is a young man. He's got a very good job. Sister Sharon, he makes a six-figure salary. That's pretty darn good money. For not even 30 years old yet. The other day, one of his supervisors walked by and looked down, and the Bible was laying on his desk. He said, you need to put that in your drawer and don't let me see it on top of the table again. I used to lay mine there all the time. That was years ago, yes. Look how things have... So when I'm telling you that God has set you apart for such a time as this, that's what the theme of this revival was, for such a time as this. How do you know that you're not going to be the one? How do you know you're not the next Billy Graham? How do you know you're not the next Monday? I'm not talking about Monday's child. I'm talking about... I should have said Moody, shouldn't I? M-O-O-D-Y, Moody. How do I know you? How do you know you're not the next Smith Wigglesworth? How do you know you're not the next McPherson? Do you know that Sister McPherson would beat a tambourine and sing in the street and walk down the street and people would follow her right down to the temple and everybody she prayed for got healed or delivered? How do you know that's not you? How do you know? Doug, in all your struggle and everything you're going through, how do you know you're not the next A.A. Allen? How do you know these things? You see, what I'm saying is that in this day and this hour, for such a time as this, you were born. For such a time as this, God will lift you up. If you will put God first, God will lift you up and draw people to you that you can witness to, and you can see them in heaven. But it's your choice. He said, sanctify them by thy word, and thy word is truth. Isn't that what it says? He said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. You know, when we harbor little things, I told you before, I harbored things, and it kept me from really getting where I wanted to be. But the day God said, now we're going to take care of this, I says, you know, listen, I got to tell you, this was so neat. Kenneth Copeland was saying, if you can't go and talk to that person and apologize to him, you know, even though you might not have did the thing, if you can't apologize, he said, write him a letter. Your sister Paula, I went to my desk and I got my pen and got my paper out, you know, and I was going to. And I just couldn't think of the words to say. The next day, the very next day, I'm out to Genesee Valley walking, and this person comes right out and bam. I mean, I'm just walking and we run into one another. Yes, literally. I mean, he hit me, I hit him. You know, I looked at him and you know the thing of it? I let him walk away. I didn't say a word. I'm not about to be the first one to say anything. And he got about down there and I hollered at him. I said, hey! And I called him by name, and he turned around and looked at me, and I says, come here. And I started walking toward him. I said, and you know, this is the thing. See, I don't, your fault, my fault, whose fault, what difference does it make? What difference does it make? You want to be like Olivia and de Havilland sisters? They died. 30-some-odd, 40-some-odd years, they never even talked to one another in Hollywood, lived in Hollywood, never talked to one another. Why? They had an argument one time, and they never made up. You know what was the biggest joy of my 50th wedding anniversary? The biggest joy was not that I had a lady that would put up with me for 50 years, but I seen my two sons, who hadn't spoken to one another in 7 years. I seen them come down the aisle on each side of my wife. I seen them out in the hall hug one another. Listen, it's worth it all. Now they're talking. That was the joy. You see, I'm realizing more and more that each one of us are set aside for God's purpose. Brother Jerry might sit here and he might say, well, they ain't got no purpose. I'm getting old and blah, 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 blah. Can I tell you that Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt when he was 80 some odd years old? You still got a ways to go. Hear me, for such a time as this. You don't know, but God has kept you for such a time as this. He's put you on his shelf, and he said, now the time I'm going to use you. How can he use me? I don't know how he can use me. And if he can use me, he can use anybody. Hear me this day. God has ordained, God has sanctified, God has set you apart to use you when it's his time. I thought, dear God, Moses, 40 years you were raised an Egyptian. Think about that. He was a Hebrew raised as an Egyptian. Then he went 40 years to learn how to be a shepherd so he could lead people. He didn't learn very quick, you say. You know, there was a few particulars he had to get down, you know. He had to quit making excuses to God. And every one of us does it. Every one of us makes excuses. Oh, God, I can't. I can't talk right. God, I can't do this. I can't do that. But yet he comes back and says to you and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Did you realize that this morning? That you don't walk on your own. You really walk with God if you will allow him to. You know, I thought as I remembered different ones in my life that I've seen, and each one of them has a little part. They contribute. Do you know that? The people you know. I had the brother Ibra, he told me that, we were talking about Martha the one day there when they were here, and he said she was known as the bling lady at Faith Tabernacle. Stuck with her. She was a bling lady. She wore, guess what? But Martha witnessed, talked, prayed with, taught people that you and I would never have reached. Why? Because she was the bling lady. Anytime. Listen, have you, I thought of the other day as that man left that woman $6,000. Did you see that on the news? That waitress? He left her $6,000 tip. I thought, wow. But you know something? He is open. He knows, honestly, he knows that all, and I'm sure he's got millions, maybe, but I'm saying all of the millions are not going to do anything in heaven. But all of his treasure he will lay up in heaven because he's doing what God's telling him to do. And as you do that, then you lay up treasures. And you see, you young people, all you young people here, you may give me the excuse that you're too young, but I can nitpick a little bit. But if you, I'm going to pick because I love you and you love me. But I've seen you at the Blueberry Festival, and I see the people that were gathered around you. You may think, that's nothing. But it is something. You have an opportunity. You have a drawing power. God don't give that to everybody. I'm not knocking anybody. I'm just saying, God doesn't give that to everybody. You have a drawing power. You see, Doug, people that he can't reach, may be drawn to you. But if you just sit down with them and do what they do, how are you any different? How are you going to lead them to the God that you know? How, if all these people that come to you and you had the opportunity to take every one of them and lead them to heaven, and yet you didn't do it, think about that. Where God has put you, where God is using you. I'm not picking on these young kids. I tell you what, there's some of you old people, old kids that are sitting here that God wants to use, and the only thing you do is you have this song you sing. It's an old song in the Pentecostal realm because we used to sing it in Church of God. You grab the bottom of the pew and you sing, I shall not be moved. Anchored in Jehovah, I shall not be moved. God couldn't dynamite you off the bench if he wanted to. Why? Because I shall not be moved. But you see, it's time we were moved. It's time we were about our Father. Listen, Jesus said to his mother and father when they came back to him, know you not that I must be about my Father's business? And he was only 12 or 13 years old. There was a man by the name of Dowie, D-O-W-I-E. Was preaching and teaching the Word of God. God used him in such a miraculous way that they began to call him Elijah. The problem was he began to think he was Elijah. Because they called him that, he began to think he was. He began to dress like Elijah. He began to do all these things. Do you know he had a city in Indiana that's still there? At one time, the city had nothing but Christian people. Zion, Indiana. Do you know that there was a man by the name of John G. Lake that lived in a place called Spokane, Washington? It was known in his day as the healing city. There was not one sick person in Spokane, Washington when John G. Lake lived there. The doctors all left. They weren't needed. He had three houses on the strip in Spokane, Washington. Listen, he had three houses. When you first came there, you needed healing. Whatever the disease was, if you were dying, you went to this house to build up your faith, to receive in this house. There was not one sick person, no cancer, no sugar diabetes, no heart trouble, nothing lived in Spokane, Washington at the time of John G. Lake. If you don't believe it, get on your computers and go back to the Spokane Press, it was called, or something like that. And they even had articles that so-and-so came from Florida, so-and-so came from California, so-and-so came because they were dying. They were only given so many days. And when they got to Spokane, Washington, they lived to be 80 and 90. Listen, how do you know that you are not for such a time as this? How do you know he's not set you aside to use you that way? God said that you and I are sanctified. We're set apart because of the Word of God. Do you realize how many people today are trying to change the Word of God? You have a group of people that I thought I would never hear this come out of their mouth because they always had to make sure you were saved in Jesus. Now they're making the comment that Jesus may not be the only way to heaven. Wait a minute! This book that I read said there's only one way to God. And that's through Jesus Christ. But wait a minute. Now we're changing it. Why are we changing it? Because I can reach out to more people. But if any man come any other way than this way, an angel or anybody comes preaching any other gospel than this that Paul was preaching, he said, let that person be accursed. People, I'm telling you today, we are living in a time and an hour when we need to be set apart by the Word of God. We need to be set apart our speech. You know, can I tell you this, that holiness, everybody talks about holiness. You see somebody and you say, oh, they're holy. Are they holy? Because they look holy? Can I tell you that holiness is a way of life? Oh, I agree that once you get saved and you're walking the way you should, then your outward appearance will change. But, God said he looks at the inward man, not the outward man. What are you inside? I was going to bring you a box this morning. And I decided, well, I'm not telling you. I might do it later. So I better not tell you. Anyway, you and I are being watched. I watch people across the street when Bonnie and I get up and walk out to the car on Sunday morning. They're standing right there in the door watching. They're watching us. They're watching you. Aaron, whether you realize it or not, people are watching you. You may not think so. And you prayed, don't watch me, because I pray the same thing. But there are people watching you. They've heard you talk. They've heard you say things. Now they're going to watch and see, are you living what you're saying? See that? Listen, I'm telling you, you have no idea how many magnifying glasses are on you. I'm serious. Listen, you don't know how many people are watching Mel. Since Mel came to know the Lord, I tell you, his family's watching him like a hawk, and he doesn't even know it. Because they're wanting to see, Mel, do you have something that's real, or you just have something that's going to only last for a day or two? You see, that's what they're watching you to see. Do you really have something that's rooted and grounded? Do you really have something that's not going to pass, that it's going to pass the test? When the test comes, are you going to pass that test? You study to pass the finals, remember? When you were in school, you studied to pass the final. Now you don't have to worry about it, because if you get grades during the year and you don't miss any time, you don't have to take the final. Somebody reads. How true is that of all of you? You know, you may be the only Bible that the people across the street read. You think about these things. Are you readable? Are you readable? We'll have some fun, because we'll talk about commitment one of these days. I ain't got there. See, this, I'm just talking about sanctification. I'm talking about being set apart. But then there's another thing. Are you committed? You say, sanctified, you're set apart. You're you. Because let me read you this. Let me read you this right here. Because it's very, very much so. And mine's written in red, which means that Jesus spoke it when he said, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Do you realize that you are not of this world if you know Jesus? You see, there's people here in the United States that have citizenship in Switzerland or someplace else. You see? You are not of this world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Jesus Christ said he set himself apart. He was not of the world. He was in it. He set himself apart so that you and I might be set apart by the truth, his word. People, I'm telling you today that there are people looking for the truth, because all they're hearing is a bunch of lies. And that's all it is. I'm sorry, but we're being lied to from our government. Families are lying. Churches are lying. I'm sorry, churches are lying. When I see the point in time that somebody is preaching out of a good book rather than preaching out of the Word of God, that's a lie. That's a lie. How do you expect to lead somebody to heaven preaching out of a good book? But they do it. And there are many people there in that house. There are many people preaching, you don't have to know Jesus to go to heaven. You don't have to live a holy life to go to heaven. Listen, a holy life is a committed life. And I'm committed to God. I'm committed to his way of life. I'm committed to his word. I'm committed to see this thing from the start to the finish, because he's the Alpha and the Omega, and he's everything in between. But if we don't have any commitment, we'll fall by the wayside. Right now, do we realize that Christian divorce is past secular divorce. More Christians are divorcing than the secular realm. And that's terrible. Because there's no commitment. Like I told you, if you come to me and you want to get married, we're going to sit down and talk. And one of the first, I'll tell you right up front, one of the first things I'm going to do is try to talk you out of it. That's what I do. Because I'll tell you this, if I can talk you out of getting married, you didn't really love that person. And I ask you how you spell love. Think about it. L-U-S-T don't last too long. L-O-V-E will take you through the storm. If you don't believe it, talk to Bonnie sometime. If it wasn't love, it wouldn't have took us through the storm. It wouldn't have. It wouldn't. Sister Ruth, if it wasn't love, it wouldn't have took you through the storm. Sister Pat, if it wasn't love, it wouldn't have took you through the storm. You see? If it wasn't love, it wouldn't have took you through. Listen! God set marriage apart. And now man wants to say men and men can marry and women can marry. People, we've come to a place that the Word of God said it would come to. Are we ready for it? He set us apart, I believe, for such a time as this, to be His mouthpiece in this day and this hour. Stand with me, if you will.